Hi, this is Tanya Nyack, and you're listening to The Break. My next interview is with renowned chef from India, Manith Chauhan. You guys have definitely seen her on Chopped. She's been doing the show for, I want to say, about 12 years now. She has cookbooks. She owns restaurants. She is phenomenal. And I just love connecting with her. Number one, based on our heritage, and number two, based on our love for food. Just the way we were both raised, we connected on so many levels. I can't wait for you to hear her inspiring journey. Girl, I am so happy to see you, and I'm so happy to see everything that's been going on, and thank you for taking the time.
Thank you for thinking about me. My son, he is an early riser like me, so both of us, we were just sitting and cuddling and seeing Foodtastic of all things. Like, I have to get the kids into food, right?
Yeah.
And like, I'm still in my PJs, and I'm like, okay, lipstick, earrings, jacket, it's fine.
It's fine. You could have been in your pajamas. Listen, I'm in my pajamas
right now. I literally am in my pajamas right over here.
We should have a pajama party right now. That
would be so awesome. Right? That would be so awesome.
Well, you know, it's funny because Shagun, which is what popped up on the name on your Zoom right now.
Oh, so yeah.
Did I tell you my mother's name is Shaguna?
No, and I didn't know that.
Yeah, and so my dad always calls her Shagun. Shagun. So I always hear Shagun my whole life.
That is so cool. Oh yeah. My God.
What does it mean? I should know this.
So Shagun means blessing. So, you know, like in Indian ceremonies or whatever, whenever they give a little bit of money or something in, you know, which is a sign of blessing and good luck, that is called a Shagun. So Shagun is like, it means good luck. It means blessings.
I was so excited to talk to you because this whole podcast it's called The Break, you know, and it's about really hearing people's journeys. It's not so much that moment in time that was an actual break, which is great to hear that too, but it's really about everything that happened along the way to get you there. And I've interviewed some really wonderful people, wonderful chefs that you know, like Chris Cosentino and Karen Akunowitz. And while I love their story and their journey, one of the things about you that I'm so excited to talk about is like our heritage and how that impacted growing up, you know, and you came here later in life to the States.
Yeah.
And you grew up in India. So, and now look at you here. I mean, to be able to start off and be so successful there, but then to carry that over, it's like you were just born with gold in your blood, something like a sparkle, gems in your blood. I mean, you're just you're effervescent.
You know, it's so interesting when you know, you were saying that there is that moment, right? I in my life cannot pinpoint the moment when it actually happened, because it is an amalgamation. It is a connection, a collection of one, you know, event after the other, which to me, it's never been this. To me, it's just a very steady growth.
Slow and steady.
Very slow and steady. Mm-hmm. And that's what I keep on telling the kids. Like, I'm like, you can get whatever platform that you have, but if you're not going to use it, if you are not going to work your butt off, you're not going to get anything. In the end of the day, it all boils down to hard work. And that is something that at times I lament, that not many people think that they are entitled to things without working for it. And that will never happen.
Manith, I want to ask you a little something, because I know for the two of us also, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to make this all about us being Indian, but it's special for me because we are, you know. But, you know, when I first got started with HGTV and Scripps Networks back before it was Discovery, and then now into Food Network with Robert Irvine, I got, not from the network, they were wonderful, but the viewers, before there was more acceptance to other cultures, I would get some awful, awful emails. But it was like message boards. It was pre-Instagram, pre-Twitter, pre-all that. And I remember very clearly just being stunned by how hurtful and mean people could be. Did you experience any of this?
It's so interesting that you're saying that, because just yesterday I posted something on my Instagram. Mm-hmm. You know, what hurts me more is not when people who are people who don't know, people who are ignorant, who make comments, which is like, you know, whatever, like, you know, this is what it is. What hurts me more when there is a Pete Patel, right, who is not secure about his own heritage of being an Indian, that he's got to change his name, right?
Yes.
And then send me an email, I saw 20 episodes of you on Chopped and you ain't all that. Stop being a typical Indian. I got up in the morning and this was the first email that I got. And he also sent me a message on Instagram. Of course, on Instagram, I blocked him. And yes. I literally sat and I wrote this long email. And then I went ahead and deleted it. And I'm like, mm-hmm. This is it. But I did call it out on a platform where I was, you know, that was the most engagement that I ever got. They're like, what, you know, what a beep. Like people were like,
yes,
screw him, right? Like,
right.
Which is what it is. So I think to me, it hurts more when they are people of your own community,
yes,
who try to pull you down. They don't realize that how difficult it has been to reach over here. You're not on a public platform. You're not putting yourself out there every day, right? I am. And it is not easy. You know that it's not easy, mm-hmm. right? Like mm-hmm. to do all of that. So instead of encouraging, to me, it was a moment where, like, you know, even when I'm on TOC or whatever I am on, I have each and every of my chef coat is Indian Zardozi work. It is as Indian as it gets. My earrings are as Indian as it gets, because I'm like, you know what? This is who I am. I am very proud of where I came from, because that is what built the foundation of where I am. I'm very proud where I ended up, because that was my choice. It was my journey, right? So neither of these two things I can change. And I think it is up to us to educate our kids that way. Like, you know, recently I hosted the Holiday Wars, right? So it was me, it was Aarti, and it was Shinmen. And the fact is that there were people who are like, what? Three people of color?
Of color, yes. You know,
yeah, and it just blew their mind. And I'm like, why? It's food. I mean, how we look, the color, and I wore a sari. I'm like,
good. I love
this
it.
Is yes. who I am. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I'm not ashamed of it.
And it's what makes you special. Yes. Yes.
I said, yes. Shame on you for trying to make me feel ashamed of it.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And that's what it is. I think it is. It's a combination. And yeah, I know it's like, and you've been doing this, like you started when there was pretty much nobody else.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Who looked like us, or, mm-hmm. you know, as I always joke, who looked like us, who spoke like us, who
right.
smelled like us.
Yes.
Like, you know, that's what it is. Like, you know,
that's what it is.
I use, you know, heing. Of course, you come to my house, it'll be smelling
right.
curry.
But yeah.
That's what it is. I think, you know, what the incredible part has been about last year or 2020 is like, it's been such a tough time. But the number of young, especially young women, right, of Indian heritage who reached out to me, who started businesses, who started, be it a jewelry business, be it food, be it biscuits, be it chocolates, be it chai, right, who've reached yes. out and they're like, hey, listen. And each and every person who reaches out to me, and I'm like, yes. My house now looks like a warehouse because, I mean, and I'm blessed that people think that, you know, that and they send stuff, and I'm genuine about it, and I'm like, this is incredible, thank you so mm-hmm. much. Because if I can encourage even one person, you know, to have a successful business, then, you know, I've done my job. And
yes.
and people reach out, they're like, oh my God, you're so kind and you're so genuine. I'm like, the only thing I can ask you is pass that on to the next person who reaches out to you and says, can you please help me? Because
just be supportive.
Yes, it is so important to be supportive. If tomorrow you do better than me, then, you know, and even if I have given you one word of advice or support, then I have succeeded. Because
yes.
one day I want that to happen for my kids too.
Right.
And it's all about, like, my son's name is Karma, right? It's all about karma. What you send out in the world, you'll get back.
There's plenty for everybody to go around. So, hey, you know what I mean? Let's all just be happy for each other and, you know, it's a nice supportive community, women supporting women, especially ethnic women supporting other ethnic women. What is your ultimate favorite Indian comfort food?
Dal chawal. That's it. With some achar on the side and some dahi, and you're good. Mm. Like the
rajma
chawal also. Yeah. Yesterday we were like, we don't want to do anything. And then like, I look at Vivek and I'm like, rajma chawal. So you made rajma yesterday, which is so interesting. I think I'm
having this
right now.
Oh, that sounds so good. I know right before I left Florida with leaving my mom, I'm like, Mom, can you please cook khichdi and tomato chutney for me?
I love
khichdi. It's my favorite. I try to explain it to some. Let me try to do what you learned, is how to explain it to somebody and tell me if I'm way off. Okay. To me, khichdi, if I were to explain it to someone who doesn't know, is kind of like I'm probably way off here, but like an Indian risotto texture, right? A little bit. It's rice with lentil in it. It has like this underlying delicious flavor, but then when she chunks it and it's just has like a little kick to it. And then the tomato chutney would almost be like a tomato sauce, but a little chunkier with onions and garlic and green chili. And it is just so, every time we were sick, that's what we asked for. And so I was so sad leaving them. I'm like, Mom, please, will you make? I'm bad though. I need to learn. I'm getting your cookbook. Will you tell everybody the cookbook?
The book is called Chaat. Chaat in Hindi means to lick, and Indian street foods are called chaat. So this book is not only about Indian street food. It's also about the emotion of food being so delicious that you're licking everything that comes in, you know, in contact with that. And that being said, like khichdi is one of my favorites. So I actually make khichdi and take it to the next level. So I make khichdi arancinis. So when you say risotto, that makes so much sense.
Yay, I did a good job.
See, you did an amazing job.
I was sweating. Like, why did I just tell Manit Chauhan, world-renowned chef, that I would try to do this little test?
It was amazing. It was perfect. But then the amazing part about khichdi is that you can use it as a base. Like at times I do shrimp and grits.
Yes.
I do tandoori shrimp the khichdi at the base. Yeah, absolutely.
I told my mother, I said, you should grill some shrimp and put it on this. Yes.
Yes.
Good.
That's what it's all about. To me, cooking is never about following recipes. It's about putting your own signature and your mm-hmm. own experiences, mm-hmm. Your own nostalgia on it. One of my biggest things that I'm afraid of is to be satisfied, right? I am happy where I am, but I know what my potential is. So if I do not push myself further to do something new, to do something different, and in the entire bargain and in the process, I end up being so much richer because I've got this big problem of saying yes to everything, right?
Yes.
Exactly, right? And every year, at least, you know, I do something which is so outside my realm of comfort because I'm like, no, I've got to do something which is like, you know, you're like, oh my God, can I do it? Why did I say yes to it? But you're still doing it. And it just makes you such a richer person. I mean, they are like, you know, one of the funniest things, this was 2 or 3 years back, I get an email that, hey, we are looking for somebody to host a cooking show or whatever, right? So I immediately send it to my agent. I'm like, make this happen.
Yes.
And so she writes back, she's like, you do realize it's a scripted part, right? And of course, I'm doing 20 things. I've just glanced at the email. I've not even read it. I'm like, the whole world is scripted. She's like, you are fine with it? I'm like, of course I'm fine with it. She's like, okay. And then I get the contract and I look at it and I have signed up for a role in a Hallmark movie, right?
Yeah.
Which is like, I cannot do scripts. To me, it's a very conversational, mm-hmm. You know, dialogue. Mm-hmm. But I had to go ahead, and it reminded me of being back in school. Everything has to be verbatim, you know, and then being the OCD I am, like I needed everything done in one take. And they're like,
no,
it's okay if you make mistakes and stuff. And I'm like, no, that means I'm not doing a good job.
Why do we put this pressure? Why? What do you think that is?
I think we enjoy it. That's why.
Yeah.
I think we enjoy the fact that we can do it, which is why we push ourselves.
Can we talk a little bit about when you were little and growing up in India and what that was like?
Absolutely. So I grew up in this really this small town in India called Ranchi, which is in eastern India, very close to Calcutta. And I was born in Punjab, but my parents were working over there. So I spent like till my 12th grade, like, you know, I was over there, small town. And the fun part about this town is, like, as you know, Indian food is so diverse, right? Each and every region, each and every mm-hmm. state has a very distinct cuisine of its own. My dad, he was an engineer. So we grew up in a colony or a community where there were people from all over India. So I literally was that obnoxious kid who would finish dinner at home, go to my neighbor's houses and tell them that my parents hadn't fed me. So can I eat with you? And it was incredible because I not only at that age realized the beauty and diversity of food. To me, I would sit with the aunties in the kitchen and see them cook, mm-hmm. right? Like it reached that stage that, you know, when I got older, friends would call up mom and dad and they're like, yeah, dinner is at 7, but send Manit at 3 o'clock so that she can help us. And I would love it.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, it used to be amazing because I would just sit, I would learn about different spices or why. So I think that was my, my learning platform. But the most incredible part at that time, which I think later on in life I have been able to process, was the fact that I realized food is the biggest connector in this world.
I agree with you 100%.
Our neighbors were from Andhra, and auntie, she didn't know English or Hindi. She would speak Telugu. I didn't know how to speak Telugu, but she was one of my favorite people because I would have a conversation with her. Really didn't make a difference if we couldn't speak the same language because the love of food or, you know, the pride with which she made the food was mm-hmm. what it was all about, which is, really funny because I think realizing that happened when I went to Peru a couple of years back. We went to Urumbamba and, my husband Vivek and two of our friends were there and everybody was jet lagging and they're like, okay, we'll just take a small nap. And I'm like, we are in Peru. How can we sleep? No. So I just walked into the mercado, like, you know, all by myself, like I'm like just talking. And Vivek found me an hour later making these potato croquettes and selling these potato croquettes with this old Peruvian lady who for some reason reminded me of my grandmom, and she didn't speak a word of English. And let's say my Spanish is not, fit for polite.
You're right.
But we just did it. And that was
amazing.
Like, this is it. Like, this is it.
It's like food, it's a universal language,
food.
Right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
I speak food.
I right? speak food.
Yes.
That's it. I speak food. I eat food. I dream food. Like to me, that is what it is.
Was your mom, was she a big cook when you were growing up, or was it really more learning from, you know, all your neighbors and aunties and uncles? And
you know, growing up in India at that time, like mom was one of the few people who was actually working. So, mm-hmm. So cooking was more of something that we did every day. It was because it's not that we were getting, you know, that was the time. There was no Uber Eats or Grubhub or something, like you had to make what you ate. That's what it was. But it was really interesting because every Sunday, my dad, he had this scooter, this two-wheeler, and him and I, we would go to the farmer's market, the local farmer's market, which was the only, place where you would get vegetables. And it used to be quite a adventure for me because we did it every Sunday morning.
Wow.
And all our vendors, we build that relationship. It was incredible. And then seasonal cooking, like when I came over here, everybody was going crazy about farmers market. I'm like, okay, that's the only kind of market that I
know. That's all you knew, right?
Yeah. To me, I got so fascinated going to when I landed, when I came over here, my sister, like, she was showing me malls and stuff. This was in 98, which malls and all hadn't come to India.
So your sister,
right?
She was here first?
She was here, yeah. She came here to do her master's. She went to IU, Indiana University.
Okay. That helped to have her here, I'm sure. Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Because I was wondering how scary that must have been to leave India and come here, but at least you had your sister nearby. So that's nice.
Absolutely. And so she took me to the mall and all. I'm like, okay. And then on the way back, she's like, listen, I'll pick up some milk. And we walked into, I think at that time it was a ShopRite, if I'm not mistaken. And I walked in and that blew my mind. I'm like, what is this? These are artichokes. Oh my God, this is asparagus, because I had read about all of this and those things hadn't started coming in India. So it was just like my sister was like, when we were going, she's like, I've never spent this much money on groceries. I want to try this. So it was just incredible.
Those were your splurges, like, right? Like people splurge on shoes. Some people splurge on jewelry. You splurged on artichokes and asparagus.
God. It was just, yes.
So I know that you studied hotel management, right, in India? And then you worked for Oberoi, Taj, all of that. Yes. So this is the part where I want to make this connection, because I don't fully know if I know all the details here. You've always had this love for cooking, but you didn't go to school to be a chef right away at first. You went for the management aspect. Why?
Because in India, they weren't culinary schools per se at that time. It's mm-hmm. not because of... now, in hindsight, it was a really smart move. But at that time, yes. it's just because that was the only thing that I could do to get into the kitchen. And the one thing that my parents always have said, they're like, you know, the only thing we can give you is a really good education, mm-hmm. right? Like, they're like, we're a middle-class family. We will, you know, give you the best life that we can. But education is something that is paramount. So that's why they were like, even when I decided, and this is, I mean, in a community where all the kids were learning to, you know, starting to be doctors or engineers. And if you're really thinking outside the box, maybe an accountant. Mm-hmm. And over here, I'm like, I want to be a chef, which at that
it's
time,
outside of the norm.
Acceptable. Yes, right. It wasn't an acceptable career. On top of that, being a girl and wanting to be a chef.
Mm-hmm. Like, what?
Like, she's lost it. Right. Completely. Right.
Uh-huh.
So it was really, it was interesting, but they said that do what you want to do. Just make sure that you're the best at it.
I had that similar situation growing up where it was like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I never wanted to fit in that box of what, you know, a lot of Indian parents sort of push their kids to do in that engineer doctor category. And I've always been very creative. And interestingly enough, my dad is an architect, but he didn't want me to be an architect because he was also a business owner. And he kept feeling that if my life were to follow his path in the way he was working 24 hours a day, he always thought, how will you have a family? How will you do this? He kept thinking about all of the bigger picture. So he talked me out of it, but that's really what I wanted to do. So I went to school for marketing undergrad. And I also, like you, now in hindsight, I'm so grateful that I did it, because it really helped me tremendously with my career as a designer. But I did end up going back to school. I got my master's in interior architecture. But similar, you know, they always said, do what you want. But I think they had a vision of what they wanted me to do, but they didn't push me as much as they pushed my older sister. I was the younger one. So luckily I got away with a lot more.
But I think it's also right, like right now that, you know, I'm a parent myself, I realize that at times, you know, when I'm giving these sermons to my kids and I'm like, oh my God, what am I doing? And then, you know, you realize why parents were pushing, you know, kids to do what they thought would get them a secure future.
Right.
Right. And that's what it's all about. Like at times my daughter is like, you know, doing homework with her is probably one of the most frustrating things. And I am now, you know, I used to cry my way through math and now I have to teach her that.
And they do math differently now, right?
Didn't they? So differently.
Doing it? I don't know.
So differently. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm like, what? But the crazy part is that that's what I tell her. I'm like, listen, you might think I'm giving you a lecture right now, but this is it. I need you to just do the foundation. Okay, you need to know that. You need to know the basics of math. You need to know the basics, you know. Then do what you want. But this is something I'm not going to let you just like be la-di-da about it. It's not going to happen.
So then you got here and you go to CIA. And I understand you knew that this was the best of the best and you had to go there, right? So now you're dealing with this food that you probably have no idea what half of it is. So what was that like?
I think it was very exciting. To me, the first thing was that I was the only Indian on campus for better part of my my time over there, which was really interesting because there were a lot of people who there were a lot of misconceptions about India, which you know I kind of had to clarify. But also, I realized I think that was the time. Till that time, I really wanted to be a pastry chef. Because in India, there weren't as many pastry chefs. So my entire focus was on baking because that's what I wanted to do. And then when I came over here, I realized like, you know, I would be talking about Indian food, about how amazing it is. So I decided to take my friends to an Indian restaurant in Hyde Park in 98.
Okay.
We went to all-you-can-eat buffet. And everybody's like, okay.
They weren't feeling it.
They weren't feeling it. And in truth, nor was I. Because
really?
This was not, this was not the food that I grew up with.
That's you right.
Know, the fact that, you know, this $8.95 buffet had become what Indian cuisine was about. Mm-hmm. I think that's where it really sparked the, we grew
this
up
is
with
not
beautiful
it.
Food. This is not it. Mm-hmm. Chicken tikka masala, saag paneer, and dal is not what comprises of Indian cuisine. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about appam. Let's talk about chaats. Let's talk about like there is so much more to Indian cuisine.
Yes.
So I think that's where the seed was sown. And then I started like when we were doing bread classes, right? Like we would be doing focaccia and the chef would say, whatever topping you want. So I would make bhindi sabzi or I would make chana dal and caramelized onion. So I started doing all of that and people would be like,
this is so good.
Yeah, like they're like, licking oh my God, fingers. This is flavor. This is it. So that's basically, where it started. And it's so fun right now, like with CIA, it's, recently, we celebrated the 75th anniversary at the CIA. I was invited to, you know, present and this coming.
What an honor. What an honor. That is amazing. Yeah.
It's incredible. Like CIA is like every year they go ahead and give leadership awards to, a couple of people. And this year in May, they are honoring me. So I'm like, that's goosebumps. But it's incredible.
Then you're here, you're graduating, you're crushing it and you're, you know, in the best school in the industry. So when you graduated, then did you start working at a restaurant or when did the Food Network thing happen? What happened next?
When I came over here, I came on a visa, which was called an M1 visa, which was only a trade visa. So you couldn't work on campus or anything, but I, as it is, just because I love to work, I did everything, you know, I was like the RA and, you know, room was free. Like, you know, so I like, you know, there is that Hindi word, which is called jugaad, which is like you come up with a solution to a problem, you know, no matter how creative it is. And that's what I did, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would volunteer with chefs. So I would get food for the weekend, you know, all of that.
Yes, like, right.
The barter system. And then basically that's the time when reality really hit me because I had graduated from the best school in India. I had graduated from the best culinary school in the world. The world should have been my oyster. And I graduated with each and every award in my class. So really, like, I'm like, this is it. Yes. I have arrived. And then I started applying for jobs. So as soon as that happened, nobody would touch me with a barge pole.
Really?
Because in this industry, people just weren't sponsoring paperwork, right? Because it was not considered, like, you know, if you're a doctor and you're an engineer, like my sister, she was a software engineer. Like, even before she graduated, she had all of these offers, right? With me, people are like, oh my God, yes, yes, please reach out. And then as soon as I would, they're like, yeah, we would love to get you in. And then I would be like, oh, by the way, my paperwork. And they would be like, okay,
sorry,
we'll call you. Don't call
oh,
us,
no.
right? So it was really interesting. And at that time, as luck would have it, my uncle and aunt were opening an Indian restaurant in New Jersey, in South Jersey.
Oh, they hit the lottery to have a niece that just went to CIA?
Yeah, but it was like, it was really interesting because to them, it was an Indian restaurant, which they were like, you know, they got a chef and stuff. And so they were like, okay, if you want to come and work with us, you know, we can do your paperwork and stuff. So they sponsored my work visa. And I was with them for around 4 years. And it was really interesting because it started as a 70-seater. We took it to a 130-seater, you know, overlooking the Schuylkill River. Really, it was, we pushed the envelope of, you know, not a good old Indian place, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But did a lot of events. And, you know, with all of these weddings and stuff, I started doing wedding cakes on the side. So I was like, but I was managing that place. And at that age, like I was in my mid-20s, to be managing all of this was, I think it gave me a lot of confidence and also the foundation. So that was it. I think after 4 years or so, I was like, this is, you know, I had a Mazda Miata. I just hopped into that. My sister was in Chicago at that time. I was like, okay, I'm going to go and explore the world. And that's what I did. So I just like, you know, drove from
New
Jersey.
How old are you?
26, 27, you know, when you're still young enough to think that, you know, you're still young enough to do stupid things.
Yes.
But because of the age, you feel like you can absolutely achieve or attain anything.
Right.
And I'm glad that I did that because I drove to Chicago. I, you know, staged at a lot of places, like just, you know, doing things that I should have done right after I graduated from school. But because of the experience that I had in, you know, managing people and stuff, and especially, I mean, the team that I was managing were, you know, old Indian men who were like, what is this girl doing? Like, you know, bossing us around. So that kind of really made me, I'm like, really? I'll show you. So that was it. It was interesting. So over there I worked, you know, I got a job in Chicago, worked there for some time, went to New York. And then in New York, like, you know, around that time, Vivek and I, we knew each other when we were doing undergrad in India. And then we worked for a little bit.
Okay.
He did his master's in England, came to Lake Tahoe for a little bit. When he was in Lake Tahoe, he came to meet one of his friends, and that's where we connected. And then
so you stayed friends all those years and then reconnected.
Yeah, like we kind of knew of each other, not we weren't friends as such. And then we reconnected when, you know, when I was in Jersey and Vivek had come to meet one of his friends. And then he went to Southeast Asia. So he was in Singapore, Hong Kong, you know, Indonesia, got the Businessman of the Year in Indonesia. So all of that he was doing while I was doing all of this. And we had a long distance relationship. And long distance, I mean that 4 years we did not see each other. You know, he had come on a J-1, so he couldn't travel in. I couldn't afford to travel out.
So but it's the best communication. You really learn to talk to one another when you don't see each other in person. So how did you meet and connect with people with Food Network? Like, how did that all happen?
So of course, a part of being a chef now is that you've got to do morning shows and, you know, all of that, which I was doing in Chicago. And when I moved to New York, our PR company, they got this opportunity for competing on Iron Chef. Which I'm like against Chef Morimoto. I'm like, that's amazing. I think that was my door in, because as soon as I competed on that, I got a phone call to compete on the next Iron Chef. And from the next Iron Chef, I was invited to be a guest judge on Chopped. And the next season, they called me to be a permanent judge on Chopped. So it was
that. Tell me about that call, that phone call. You must have been like, oh my God.
It wasn't a moment that I'm like, oh my God, this is happening. I'm like, okay, great. Yeah. Because I take each and every opportunity that it comes as the opportunity at that moment, mm-hmm. right? That doesn't guarantee what I'm going to do tomorrow. That yes. is no guarantee of what other opportunities I'm going to get.
That's healthy. So to me, very healthy yeah, way to approach it.
Because to me, I looked at it, I'm like, okay, great. I'll take this opportunity. This is fantastic. Because at that time, Chopped had just started, right? And I'm like, great, yes. I'll get more opportunities and stuff. Mm-hmm. And for the longest time, Food Network only saw me as a Chopped talent. And there was one day I spoke to my agent and I'm like, let's just go and talk to them, right? So we just went to the offices and I'm like, by the way, you guys know that, you know, my entire foundation is on baking and pastry. They're like, what? We didn't know that. Oh, okay. And then, you know, then you get wedding cake championship and stuff. So to me, I think the biggest thing is just talk, communicate.
Yes. Yes.
Because people might not, you know, might not realize mm-hmm. what you are doing or what you're capable of, or, you know, because out of sight, out of mind. So that's how it's been. It's been really interesting because now the opportunities have really like blossomed. Like, you know, guy called me once and after that he's like, huh, okay, great. And then, you know, then TOC happened and like it was so funny. He was texting last night and he's like, hey, let's meet up. And I'm like, you realize we're in different towns, right?
but see, you're everywhere, so people always assume that you're probably right where they are because you're everywhere all the time. You're literally, you don't become triple platinum for nothing. You're everywhere.
That is true. That
right?
is so true.
My soulmate right here. The way you recreate things and you think outside the box, it's so brilliant. And that's why you are so wonderful at what you do and why everybody loves you. And I would love for you to tell everybody about all of your restaurants, how they can follow you. I know it's going to be a long list, but lay it on us because I want everybody to know everything.
Okay, so everybody can follow me on, other than TikTok, I'm on all social media at Manit Chauhan. Like, that is consistent. And I apologize in advance for people who follow me for all the dorky posts that I do. It is, our restaurants in Nashville are Chauhan Ale and Masala House, which is an Indian restaurant, Southern inspired, where you can get the pani puri, tequila shots, which are interesting. Next time we meet, we're doing that together.
Yes.
We have Tanso, which is our Chinese concept, Mockingbird, which is our Americana concept, and Chattable, which is our street Indian concept. We also have a brew park over here on 83 acres of land, which is called Hop Springs. We do concerts over there and have incredible, brews and hard seltzers. I have two books out. The latest one is Chart, and then the older one is Flavors of My World. And yeah, and you can see me on Food Network, on Chopped, etc., Guy's Grocery Game, etc., etc., etc.,
etc., etc., etc., etc. There's so many etc. And you know what? I'm so happy for you and all of your success. I feel like we're going to need a part two, but maybe that part two will be in person over
yes.
tequila pani puri and all of that good stuff.
Tandoori chicken poutine.
Oh,
you've got yeah. to try.
Oh
that.
My God, that so sounds good. Unbelievable. You're an angel. Thank you so much for doing this.
Oh my God, Tanya, it was so nice connecting with you. I think this yes. was so good for my soul. Yes.
All right.
Yes,
enjoy. Please. Enjoy the rest of your day today.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Take Thank care. You so much.
The Break with Tanya Nayak, a Mudhouse Media production.